Dear congregation, this evening we want to listen and sit with the shepherds for a moment and listen to the wonderful song of the angels. What came out of their mouth in that dark and glorious night of Christmas is nothing less but a summary of the gospel. The gospel of God's salvation in Jesus Christ. And so we want to sit with those shepherds and listen to the angels who praise and adore their God and the gospel and sing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let us pray that through the word, that glory that's shone around them would also shine here tonight in our hearts. And that as they listen to that tune of the angels, that our hearts would be tuned to sing along with the angels' song, so that we sing and focus on the love that excels all other loves, and that we lose ourselves in wonder and love and praise. Well, that's our desire as we have our text for tonight chosen with God's help from Luke chapter 2 verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So our theme is adoring angels at Christ's birth. We could say adoring angels adoring God for the gospel of Christ's birth. They first of all ascribe glory to God. Secondly, they proclaim peace on earth. And thirdly, they exalt God's good pleasure, goodwill toward men. So first of all, ascribing glory to God. Now, before we go to Bethlehem tonight, I want to take you to another place. And there's angels as well. It's another moment in history, a very important moment in history. Do you know, children, what moment? A very early moment in history. There were the angels singing in adoration, filled with the glory of God, as God was creating this amazing world. This world that is so filled with innumerable reminders of how glorious God really is. That was a moment. When creation was made, when God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit decided to create this world, the angels were there and they were singing. Can you just for a moment try to imagine what that must have been? There was nothing. And God spoke, and there were the galaxies, and God spoke, and there the water and the land and the animals, and God spoke. Don't you think there the angels were rejoicing with gladness? The awes and the ahs, like, this is the Creator, look what He's doing. Look, the galaxies just spring into being by a word of His power. All the rivers and the oceans and everything that He made was intelligent, well designed, well thought of. They were full of wonder, praise, and awe. Now Job tells us about that day. He says there in Job 38 verse 7, when the morning stars, that's the angels, sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. They were so joyful. And God laid the foundations of the earth and created man, as we heard last week, or 2 weeks ago, as the climax of man created in the image of God, as the climax of creation, to show His glory. And with a shadow of a doubt, what they must have seen when they were watching this little ball hanging in midair, which we call our world, they must have seen that the earth is full of the glory of God. What might they have sung? when they saw all the complexity with which God had created just with a mere word. I think of that song of Isaiah 6 verse 3. I don't know if they sang it, but it would be very appropriate. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Or Revelation 4 verse 11 would be wonderful too. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Glory! I'm sure they would sing about glory. And that's what the angels desire to do. Sing about God's praise, adore God for His glory, ascribe all glory to God. And now come, will you enter the fields of God, create fields of eternity, so to say, in the beginning of time. And now let's go to Bethlehem. There's angels again. Angels again singing similar notes of music, rejoicing in the Lord. These holy and sinful creatures, they just explode in song at Christ's birth. And there they sat, those shepherds in the dark. I don't know if it was dark in their hearts, but it was certainly darker that day. And there they sat. I don't know what they have talked about. We don't know. But suddenly there was this one angel, it's told. And the glory shone right about. And he announced this glorious news of the birth of Christ. And we read in verse 9, the glory of God shone around them. You see, these angels are in heaven, in a glorious place where they worship God without fail and unending, and are so full of God's glory. And as they come down, the glory of God shone around them. That means that God brought something of His own glory with them into that field of Bethlehem. God, who is a light, and there's no darkness in Him, the glory shone around them. Full of glory. God, who is full of glory. And all things are created for His glory and for His pleasure and to reflect His glory. These angels do so perfectly. Now, how do these shepherds respond? You would say, well, they must have been excited. No. They were sore, that is, very afraid. They were terrified. They were deeply troubled in their hearts. You know, we see that more often when the glory of God shines brightly and He shows something of His awesome majesty and His holiness and His beauty, it can deeply distress us in our hearts. We see it in other places, Isaiah, John, and Patmos. It can make us afraid. But then, the angels sing, or the angels speak, I should say, verse 10, and what a message. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You know, when God speaks that with power to our hearts, all the fears melt. They melt. Like snow before the sun. Fear not, I bring you the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, the angels can tell you. Unto you is born this day, today, in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord. That's the gospel. Unto you. It's the best news ever. And as they have brought this news, this one angel is joined with all the other angels, and they explode in adoration, praise. They who know something of the glory of God in heaven, they who know something of the glory of God when He created the world, now know something. God is doing a new thing in the earth. What is the new thing? God takes upon Himself flesh to save sinners. Angels who obey and rejoice God flawlessly, perfectly, angels who came from that throne room, they know all about the glory of God. And they knew Christ there, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, seated upon the throne. That's the earthly language for us to understand. God is the Spirit. We cannot grasp that, but there he was, Christ, the first or the second person of the Trinity, seated upon his throne. What did he look like? Well, full of glory, brightness, and beauty. And here's the angels knew all about that, him on the throne, and they adore him 24/7 without fail. They know Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and the angels delight in that. They delight in God, in his glory, in his power, in his universal kingdom, in what he does. They rejoice. And there they worshipped him. There they worshipped Christ. There they worshipped his Father. There they worshipped the Spirit, who's blessed forever. Well, what a day it must have been for the angels. If you think about it, what a day that Christ laid down his glory, that the one who's seated upon the throne now lays off, as it were, his royal robe of glory. He says, it's time for me to go. He strips himself of all his glory. He humbles himself. It's time for me to go to fulfill my promises. Yes, he remained God forever blessed in heaven. We cannot wrap our minds around it. But here, the Messiah, he says, as it were, let me go. I am going to fulfill the promises given years before. Behold that promise, that behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. I need to do that. And then he goes and humbles himself. They have seen it, to be conceived by the Holy Spirit, humbling himself and to be carried under the heart, close to the heart of Mother Mary, the Virgin, humbling himself because God had promised, my name, or his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. He's coming. I'm coming to be with you. I visit you. We sang it from Psalm 8. What a day that must have been when the angels looked upon the God of the universe, born, laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, as we heard this morning. No wonder that these creatures explode that night in adoration and praise and wonder. 1 Peter 1:12 speaks about the angels, that they were curious, as it were. They were desirous to look into the mysteries of salvation. How is God going to save the people here on earth? His elect, yes, his people. How, Peter says it, who have been desirous to look into the mysteries of salvation for all this time. They have been following the promise. They've been hearing the promises through the ages and the promises made to the saints. And you can say when we listen to that verse of Peter in 1 Peter, that they were desirous, that they were standing tippy-toe. When is God going to do this? When is he going to fulfill his promises? And now, he is. A son, born, Christ, the Lord, who lays aside his glory and becomes this humble and meek and helpless and lowly baby who is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so can you imagine why they shout and sing in ecstasy? We read in our text, glory to God in the highest. What does that mean? What is glory? Honor, worth, weightiness, brightness. All these words are wrapped up in that one word. Respect. This is all inspiring. Reverence, adoration, worship. Glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for this wonder of wonders. Glory to God in the highest. What does it mean? In the highest. It could mean in the highest heaven. That's where they were. That's where they came from. Glory to God in the highest. But I think it rather means glory to God, to ascribe to Him glory to the highest degree. He's worthy of it. Hebrews 1 verse 6 tells us, when He, God the Father, bringeth is in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him. That's what God says. He brings His first begotten into the world, and He says to the angels, you now worship Him. Let all the angels of God worship Him. Do you think they need that? When they have ever been in glory, when they have seen so many miracles already, they love the Lord. They love the praise and adoration of the Lord. They don't need it. And yet God says so. He commands them, now go and praise me. What about us today? Is that our desire too? They, sinless creatures, unfallen creatures, want nothing better. They love it. They love to praise God. And their music fills this night sky in Ephrathah, the fields of Ephrathah. You can hear them sing. I wonder what it sounds like. Don't you want to hear? Well, we have only the words. We don't have the music. But it must have been glorious. Why do they want to praise God and adore Him? Simply because they are astonished at the God of glory, who now comes and enters into His very own creation. The God of glory, the Creator, who made everything with one word, He says, now I'm coming into my creation. Creator, creature. Isn't that amazing? Creator willing to be creature. This must have been a far song that far surpassed that morning of creation, the dawn of creation. Spurgeon puts it like this. But this time when they saw God stoop from His throne and become a babe hanging upon a woman's breast, they lifted their notes higher still and reached to the uttermost stretch of angelic music and gained the highest notes of the divine scale of praise. And they sang, glory to God in the highest. For higher in goodness they felt God could not go. Higher in goodness they felt God could not go. Oh, are your hearts singing His praise tonight for the first time or afresh? I don't know about you, but there's sometimes different songs that come from our minds and hearts. Not so full of praise. Why? Why is our heart sometimes so out of tune? Is it because we don't see the glory? Or we are unimpressed by the glory. Worse. Why is it that our hearts are unstrung and out of tune so often? The angels sing to the highest degree, glory to God. Glory to God. What are they really saying? What are they really saying? The angels are saying what's happening here in the fields of Ephrathah, rather in the manger. Well, when God takes upon flesh, this is something marvelous. God is putting all His glorious attributes on display. That's His glory. He shows every attribute. And He does this glorious new thing. Entering His creation. Let me quote Spurgeon another time. Look what wisdom is here. God becomes a man that God may be just and the justifier of the ungodly. God's wisdom is there. Who could think about this? Look, Spurgeon says, what power? For where is power so great as when power is hidden in his little baby? What power? That Godhead should unrobe itself and become man. Behold, look, what love is thus revealed to us when Christ Jesus becomes a man. What faithfulness! How many promises were kept this night? Spurgeon says, tell me one attribute of God that is not manifest in Jesus. The whole of God is glorified in Christ. That's why the angels sing, glory to God in the highest. All the attributes of God, His wisdom, His power, His love, His faithfulness, and many more are on display in Jesus, in His glorious birth. Oh, why don't we sing more? Why are we not fuller of this? What is our problem? What is our problem? Well, isn't it true that normally, by nature, we all seek glory for ourselves, and so we don't ascribe highest degree of glory to God? That's our problem, don't you think? We're seeking glory for ourselves. We are living for our own glory. And we don't have this peace on earth that the angels sang about. Or do you, by God's grace, tonight? Peace on earth. Or do you say tonight, yeah, well, I used to have that peace, but I don't have it. Oh, let's sing with the angels second and listen. How can this peace be on earth? We look at around at our world and we say, well, where is the peace? But the angels sing, peace on earth. The angels were there. Creation. Christ's birth. But also the angels were there when the peace was gone from this world. When we became enemies of God. There they were too. Boys, girls. Remember that? There was the paradise and there was the tree of life. And if you would eat, you would live forever. But they had eaten from the wrong tree. So there was an angel, right? Cherubim. No. You can't come in here. Stay away. God is glorious. He is a consuming fire. Flaming sword, turning every which way. Stay away. Keeping people from enjoying eternal life and eternal peace. There were angels again. They saw that too. Don't you think they must have mourned long? And yet they obeyed. They did their master's bidding. And they kept sinners out of God's glorious presence. That if we are in that presence, the peace will flow like a river in our hearts and out of our lives. But no. No peace. No presence of God. God says, no, you have worshipped the creature rather than the creator. No peace for those who do so and who rebel and eat from the fruit that I say no. There's no peace, says the Lord, to the wicked. And there they were, the angels, guarding the way to the tree of life. Sin and death entered into our world. Why? Because we seek our own glory. We've broken the peace. We've become enemies of God. And the whole world is filled with enmity against God. We see it, don't we? And if you're a child of God here this evening, then you see it and you groan. Unrest, wars, rumors of wars, hatred, pride, violence, jealousy, baby killing. People are so full of themselves. There's just like Canaan we heard not too long ago. Am I my brother's keeper? No peace. And yet, that's where we are. That's the kind of world we are in. And maybe that's also your heart tonight. No peace. And yet we hear the song tonight. in the fields of Bethlehem. Peace on earth. How? How can that be? But more important, do you have that peace? Have you discovered your natural enmity, your hatred against God? Do you mourn the fact that there is such brokenness in the world? There's such disturbance of peace, such a lack of peace. Yes, that. But that you and I have sinned against God, our good Creator, who overflows with goodness and is full of glory, who says that He is worthy to be worshipped, and with our whole heart, the Creator who is blessed forever, Romans tells us, His word blessed means worthy to be worshipped, worthy to be adored. That's what blessed means. Is your heart at peace? Is your heart singing about the glory of God tonight? Are you reconciled with God? Listen to the song of the angels. They tell about Christ's birth and they tell about peace on earth. How? Well, we have heard the promise over and over in these past weeks. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head. The angels heard that. The angels heard it. It's going to come. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. What? What's God going to do? A baby, the seed of the woman, is going to bring peace, is going to win the war. God knows you and I can never win that war. Satan, death and hell are too strong for us. The enemies are too strong. Sin is too strong. God knows and says, well, what I do, you are now so bound to Satan. You're such an enemy because you love, you're a friend of Satan. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to chop that alliance. I cut the tie with Satan. I'm going to bring peace. And the angels have heard that promise and they are eager to see, what is God going to do to bring that peace? How is He going to fulfill this? And here they sing, peace on earth, through Jesus, through this baby. Oh, don't you have such a desire to see how He makes peace? When you have to admit tonight, Lord, I am a glory seeker. Glory for myself, not for the Lord. My heart is out of tune so often. If you have to admit tonight that you don't seek the glory by nature of God, then come tonight and listen. And if you say tonight, Lord, my heart is not at peace, come and listen to the angels. They know what peace is. They've all ever been in peace with God. These holy creatures proclaim peace to us tonight. There's hope for sinners. No hope for those who cling to their sin and say, no, my sins are better than Jesus. And no hope for devils. That's done. But God says, peace on earth to people like you and me. Peace on earth. How? Because He laid His glory aside, clothed with our human nature to bring peace in our troubled world. Yes, the Romans were boasting about their peace, their Pax Romana, they called it. Look, we have peace. We have such a big country. No. Jesus comes and the angels sing about peace, far more glorious peace. What peace are we talking about? Peace with God. Peace with God. Do you have peace with God? Peace with your neighbor. And peace with your in your heart. Those three things. God, neighbor, heart. That kind of peace God can give through this baby, through Jesus in the manger. See Him lay there in that lowly manger once again. Isaiah said it, right? The Prince of Peace. We say it. Out of the mouth and babes, God has established strength. This little babe. He comes to fight the battle, to break up our unholy alliance with Satan and sin and hell and the devil. This little baby is able to do that. Break our unholy peace with Satan. And break the wickedness and the violence and all the things that disturb our peace. Because He is the Prince of Peace here in the manger of Bethlehem. Prince of Peace. He came out of that perfect peace with His Father. He lived in that perfect peace with His Father. And He did what? He made peace by the blood of His cross. He was born to break our natural enmity by this peace. To bring true and lasting peace. So the cross was there already, looming large, because He was supposed to be the Prince of Peace, and He was. Peace on earth, the angels sing. They were sent to proclaim that peace. No, today you don't need to expect angels. But God sends His preachers, ambassadors of peace, through the gospel. What am I as an ambassador to say? Well, 2 Corinthians 5, be reconciled with God. What does that mean? Make your peace with God through Jesus. So that you and I, who are full of strife by nature, rebellion against God, can hear the gospel of peace. And that God can say to sinners like you and I, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Prince of Peace. Now that means not necessarily that everything will go smooth through your life and that you don't have tribulations and troubles. No. That's not what it means. An expected end. In the end, there will be full peace. Do you have this peace, dear congregation? This peace is so amazing. When that fills your heart, it brings peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings peace. That peace begins to rule in your heart, the Bible tells us in Colossians 3:15. When we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, what does it do? It brings bonds of peace with other Christians. Bonds of peace. Ephesians 4 verse 3. When we then castle our cares and our worries on Him and we pray with thanksgiving, what happens? Then He says that He will give us the mind of Christ and the peace of Christ will rule in our minds. He will give peace of mind. And we castle our cares upon Him. That kind of peace. It's all from Him. It's all deserved by Christ because of the Prince of Peace. How glorious. Do you have peace in your heart? Do you have peace in your relationships? If you don't, I urge you to make peace. As much as lies in you, sometimes we fail. But as much as lies in you, have you tried everything to make peace? Oh, what a gospel. The gospel of peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. And there these lowly shepherds heard this peace, this glory shines around you. Why? Because unto you is born this day a Savior. A Savior. To bring true peace. To be the peacemaker. The greatest peacemaker in the world. And this peacemaker, this Prince of Peace, when He walked the earth, He said it to His disciples, well, yeah, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be happy, because I've overcome the world. And after His resurrection, What did he do? He came to his disciples and says, "Peace I give unto you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. My peace I leave with you." Here's the peacemaker. When our hearts are troubled, oh, will your heart not sing along with the angels? Peace on earth. Peace on earth. And goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men. And it brings us to our last thought. Angels, can you tell me? Can you tell me how can this peace be on earth? Oh, yes, they answer. Listen to our song, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill toward men." Why can we be sure that God, through Christ's birth, will one day receive all glory? Why can we be sure that one day this earth will be filled with peace? And that sinners will come, all God's people will come to know this peace. How can we know? Well, God is full of goodwill. Goodwill toward men. What does that mean? Goodwill. It can be translated good pleasure. Bad pleasure is nasty, right? When someone loves your evil, right? But this is the opposite. This is good pleasure. It's joy. It's good. It's God's delight. It's good pleasure. It's his determination to do what? To show favor to miserable men. What does that mean? The angels are telling us that, then they sing about this good pleasure. The God who is, we heard it, blessed forever, satisfied, happy, worthy of our adoration, in the fullness of his perfection and this perfect delight, just out of sheer goodness and out of sheer grace and out of his sovereign will, he wants to do what? To show favor to miserable sinners. To let it overflow. Overflow into hearts and lives. Rebellious hearts, wretched sinners, enemies, sinners who lack peace. This favor comes and is from eternity, as it were. He is the source of that favor and that goodwill and that good pleasure. And it overflows and bubbles out of his heart and flows into this sinful world. That's what the angels are saying. Goodwill toward man. We could rephrase that tonight. God so loved, so favored, so showered good pleasure upon this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here he came to these despised shepherds. There they heard it. Goodwill, God's overflowing goodness and favor for you. Were these shepherds? Oh, these shepherds were not really. What were they? Nobodies. They were not allowed to testify in court, and people despised shepherds. But here the angels come to them, and they hear this song. And maybe you say, well, maybe they were prepared for it, or maybe they were better prepared for it than us. No. There was nothing in them. There was nothing. It's only because of God's overflowing goodness that this message comes to them and to us tonight. These shepherds were sinful men and women like you and me, but God in his overflowing delight favors these despised shepherds. And they see a glimpse of glory. Angels coming down. God opens the heavens for a moment. And he shows, I have favor for you. I come with my gospel. And then they go and they see Jesus, Son of God. Oh, do you see him tonight? What a message the angels brought. What a message unto you, born today, Savior. He's born, why? For your benefit, for your salvation, for your profit. Unto you He's born. This birth of Jesus brings glory to God, brings peace to earth, to you. Because God is just such an overflowing fountain of all goodness and grace and mercy and kindness and forgiveness for undeserving sinners. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. God has no delight, He says to us. We need to understand that He has no delight in the death of the wicked. He is full of good pleasure. Is there anything, anywhere greater evidence that God came, that God is full of God good pleasure than that He comes to save and that He comes in flesh and blood like us? He manifests His love toward us because He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. We heard this morning. After the law, He manifested, He shows it. In Jesus. Not because there was anything in these shepherds. No, He manifests His love, His grace, and His glory, and His peace, and everything about Him. He manifests, He shows it. He doesn't come to the noble, the Bible tells us, no, but to the foolish and the unwise and the lowly and the weak, to confound those who are full of themselves. The Bible tells us it's His sovereign delight to do so. And so as they hear that message, what did they do? They went and saw Jesus. And they embraced Him. I'm sure they embraced Him. And so it is today. When you hear this message, when you hear the gospel, that God is an overflowing fountain of all good, will you not come with haste and go to Jesus tonight? And see Him. God of God. Our flesh and blood wrapped in swaddling clothes, the Prince of Peace, offered to sinners like you and like these shepherds. It's as if God says, when He says, unto you is born today, that He says, do you want to hold my baby for a moment? My dearly beloved son, will you not embrace Him tonight? One day, I heard a story from one pastor, and he said one day there was this gathering in a prison, and the prison had invited his daughter to come to a chapel or something, and suddenly her phone began to ring, and there were all these criminals sitting in the fellowship room or the chapel, and so her phone rang, and she said, I need to take this call. So she had her phone and her child and she left the room. She was thinking about leaving the room and as she had this little baby in her hand, she looked around and took this little baby and to the great surprise of one man, she laid it. She said, here, in the hands of a criminal. And said to him, will you take good care of my son, or my child? And then she began to run, exiting the room to answer her phone. And there was this criminal, this peace breaker. And there he sat with this little baby in his arms. And this man began to cry. Why? Why didn't she give her baby to her father? He was there. And why not to anyone else of these criminals? Why to me, a criminal? Oh, In our text tonight, we hear something different. We don't hear tears, but we hear someone burst in, the angels burst in song because of God who says, unto you is born today. He lays this little child in the hands of peacebreakers, in the hands of those who seek their glory for themselves, in the hands of criminals, in the hands of enemies. And he says, will you take good care of my baby? The ungodly. He says, goodwill toward men. Oh, do you understand why they sing that? Don't you want to burst out and explode in song tonight? Goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward me. Me, of all people. Christ for me. Unto you is born today. Oh, if you would burst in tears tonight and say, for me? For me? And come to repentance. Heaven will burst and explode in song for one sinner who repents. Welcome to the Father's house. Welcome back. Oh, he lays his son in the hands of sinners. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. And here he gives his son to make peace. Here he is. I'm giving to you, the Father says. Yes, I know you are not worthy. But remember, he is. He is worthy. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. I'm filled with good pleasure toward him, and therefore I can be toward you. Through him, to you. Come, embrace. Embrace the Savior by faith. Those who, by God's grace, not by the will of man, but by the sovereign working of his Spirit, embrace him and have received him. What happens? They will be given the power to become the sons of God to those who believe Christ is precious, and to those who believe he is that unspeakable gift. Oh, if you embrace him tonight, you have reason to sing along with the angels. Come. If you say, my heart is out of tune, come and let these words soak in. Unto you is born today all of God's good pleasure. Sing this gospel song with the angels tonight. You are undeserving, but he is deserving. He is deserving to have all glory and honor and praise and adoration forever and ever. And to have a multitude praising him along with the angels in heaven and in glory forever and ever. Because he sits upon the throne. He has power to rule. He is that one who came so low and says unto you, come to him. And look to him. Be saved.